Christ died in your place, in your stead, so that you could be saved. Wow. That's amazing. And it's worth remembering. It's worth singing about. It's worth praising. It's worth congregating for. It's worth giving Him glory. It's worth raising your voice and saying, amen, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord. It's worth it. We should be amazed at the salvation that Christ has brought us. And I think we are. And we want to keep reminding each other to praise the Lord for it, because He is worth it.
Amen.
So Luke chapter 5. I was reading this and it was really impactful to me. I thought it was really interesting. And so I just want to go over it. This is Luke chapter 5. To start off, just imagine you're a fisherman. This is Peter and Andrew, also John and James. They were fishermen. They were people that's what they were brought up doing. That's what their father's business was. That's what their business was. They were fishermen. And imagine they had worked all night. They worked all night and they were cleaning their nets. Their eyes were probably sore. They were tired. Their muscles were tired. And they probably just wanted to go home. But you know, Jesus was preaching and Jesus says, hey, can I use your boat? So they say, okay. And so they go off and use Jesus' boat, or Jesus uses their boat to give a sermon. I think there was a lot of kind of cliffs on this seaside. And so I imagine there's people like just lined up on all these cliffs listening to Jesus preach from a boat. I think that's really interesting. But that's how it starts off here. And so I'm just going to read chapter 5. This is Luke chapter 5, verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little far from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Let's go ahead and bow for a word of prayer. Josh Slinger, could you please pray for us this morning? Amen. You know, this morning at Sunday school was talked about the Word of God and being plain, the Word of God being clear, direct, and God's Word is that. And it's really good. The Word of God is very interesting, very important, and it's direct and it's clear. You know, it says here that people were pressed upon Him to hear the Word of God. People were just flocking. They wanted something from Jesus and they wanted to hear the Word of God. And I think there should be a desire in our hearts this way. We want to just hear the Word of God. I think this should be a burning desire in our heart. We want to hear the Word of God. There's a lot of other things that can get us distracted. There's a lot of other things people can hype up to make us think that that's what's important and that's what we should be really focused on. But no, it's the Word of God. You should just fall in love with it. Where even after a hard days of work, you say, well, okay, hey, Jesus is teaching. Let's listen to Him. You know, if you come here this morning and you're a little tired, hey, that's okay. At least you're here. You want to hear the Word of God? That's how it should be, even when you're tired. They were listening to Jesus. They wanted to hear the Word of God. And so He's entering into Simon's ship, and He says, let me teach. And so He teaches the people out of the ship. Now, verse 4 says, now when He had left speaking, He said, so He's done preaching, and He says unto Simon, He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Let's like, hey, let go fish into that other side. Let's go fish into the deep right now. And it says, Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Wow. So Peter has, I think, at this moment, every reason to say, no, I don't think we should do that. Peter could say no, and his reasoning would probably tell himself, say no, I'm not gonna go out into the deep and let the nets out again. But he says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. His experience and his body were probably telling him, no, we don't want to do this. This is really inconvenient. I mean, come on, you just finished cleaning all the nets. You really want to go out and do it all again? His experience as a fisherman, think about him. This is Peter. Christ is the son of a carpenter, right? That's his business. He knows carpentry. Peter knows fishing. Peter knows the fishing business. So whenever Jesus comes and says, hey, let's go fish, when Peter's thinking, hey, I mean, I know what I'm talking about. I'm the experienced fisherman. I know that here, you know, this morning isn't the good time to fish. I know when the fish are here. They're here at night, and I was out all night, and it didn't work. He could have thought, you know, my experience trumps what you tell me. His experience, his body, imagine how tired he was. He was toiling, he says toiling, all night. But there's that word, nevertheless. He says, nevertheless. He says, although everything in me is telling me no, although my reasoning and my experience tell me don't do this, although my body is crying out, please just go home and rest, although it's so inconvenient for me to get all the nets out again and get them all messed up, at thy word, I'll do it. Amen. Wow. That's impactful. And I think that is what faith looks like. That's what faith looks like. That's what faith looked like back then, and that's what faith looks like right now. Faith is that whenever God's word comes out, you put into action what he says over whatever you're feeling. It's not about what you're feeling. It's not about what you're going through. It's not about anything you think you understand. If God's word says it, if he tells you something, if there's a promise there that you can reach out and you can hold on to, if it's there in the word, you should take that and go for it. And go with it. Act upon the word of God. Despite what you're feeling. And that's what Peter did. That's what Peter said. And so that's what I want to really focus on. He says, nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word. The word of God. In knowing the word of God and being able to put your faith, your trust in what he said over your own emotions, over the circumstances, over what you see, is faith. That's action. Acting upon what you know that he has said, believing what he has said, and acting upon it, that's what we need. Faith is what we need. And this is a great example of it. Faith. Peter says, nevertheless, at thy word. So first I want to talk about faith beyond experience, because that's what Peter had. Peter had experience, and in his experience, he could say, this is not the time to go fishing. I was fishing all night for a reason, because that's when the fishing is good. But now, it's the morning, whatever it is, it's not time for fishing. That's why I'm cleaning my nets. I mean, and it wasn't only him. All the other fishermen that we know were there were doing the same thing. Everybody was cleaning their nets. It wasn't the time to go fishing according to experience, according to their reasoning, according to the way they saw things and knew things and understood things. This isn't the time. But when Jesus said, do it, Peter goes against his own reasoning and says, nevertheless, at thy word. In fact, I think Peter was still quite kind of doubtful that it was going to happen, right? Even though he did it, it doesn't mean he really thought something great was going to happen. I think he just did it because he trusted he was going to do what Christ said to do. He didn't really need there to be a good outcome. He still was going to do whatever Christ told him to do. You know, and I think a lot of times we're weighing the outcomes, you know, if this isn't what happens, then I'm not gonna do it, it's not worthwhile to me. Why not? If Christ tells you to do something, it's worth doing it. No matter what you think might happen or might not happen. Forget it. Get your reasoning out of it. If this is what Christ has commanded us to do, do it.
Amen. Amen.
Human wisdom and experience would say, oh, don't bother. Don't bother. But Christ said, do it again. Right? Do it again. And so he comes to the conclusion, even though my experience says this, at thy word, I'm going to do it. At thy word, I'm going to do it. And so I think we need to consider this in our own life. Because there's a lot of things that you might experience. You might think you know. You might think you have all this understanding and experience, and you're older in life maybe, and you've got all this life experience, and you think you know how things work, and you're just going to be able to say, well, God, that's not how it works. I'd rather not do that. That's a big mistake. God wants you to do something. You better listen to what God has to say. You might say, well, in experience, you say, oh, well, they'll never listen. You ever think that? You're evangelizing? You ever go out passing tracts, and you should. Look, we're going to go out on Saturday, and you should come. You should come. We're going to go. We're going to try to find people. I mean, you don't find a lot of people just walking around everywhere, especially in summer in San Antonio. But hey, right here, we might have a crowd of people walking into this event center, and maybe we'll be able to pass out some tracts. But you know that experience sometimes in you, you have all those tracts with you, and you look at that group of people that are coming, and you think, oh, they're not gonna read it. They don't even like me. They're not gonna take this. And your experience is telling you, don't even try. Don't even bother. It's not worth it. But you never know. God can do something amazing with something that you never thought possible. He could save somebody that you would have never expected. And so having that prejudice is really something that you need to beware of. Doesn't James tell us? He says that you gotta be careful to not have the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with exception of persons. You can't think, well, look, this guy, oh man, he's wealthy and rich, and I'm going to give him a really nice spot here in church, and I'm going to set him up. And then the other guy, you say, he's not quite there. We'll let him sit in the back, you know, we'll treat him differently. That's not how it's supposed to be. But sometimes our experience, the way we see things, our reasoning takes us away from the way Christ tells us to do things, right? Christ tells us to preach the gospel to every creature. And our reasoning sometimes tells us, well, I already know that they're not going to believe. I think they're not going to accept this tract. I'm not sure I can tell that coworker, because I already know what he believes. He already told me he doesn't believe in God. So that coworker, no way is he going to read the gospel tract that I give him. How do you know that? You do have a clear command to give the gospel to every creature. That is a clear command right there. So it's not to you and me to decide who we're going to give to and who we're not going to give to. We should be acting on faith by the word of God. At his word, we should do what we sometimes even don't reasonably understand to do. Sometimes we think, well, I can't afford to give. I mean, really, you teach how Christ tells us to give, and you see his examples. He looks at this one lady, and she gave all that she had, and these other men that had a lot, they were just giving little things, and even though it looked like more, I mean, all these things, give, I mean, come on, give all that you have? You might think, whoa, wait. And that's what we try to teach, you know, we teach ourselves and we try to teach our kids. Listen, the truth is, everything you have belongs to God. You should just give it all to him. You should never think, you know, well, should I give, you know, a little bit or here or there? Just really, the way you should live your life is to know everything you have is God's. Everything. But that's hard to actually practice, right?
Amen.
And whenever you're thinking, oh man, the paycheck just came in, I've got to pay all these bills, and I should give to God willingly? That's a hard thing to put into practice. But I think if you're living by faith, you're going to do these things because you know God loves a cheerful giver. And so living by faith, living upon what His Word says versus what your reason tells you, your reasoning tells you, hey, you don't have enough to give. You can't afford to give. But maybe the truth is you can't afford not to give.
Amen.
There's greater things than the monetary possessions that you have. And you offer those to God. You don't know what God might bring. And we're not talking about if you give a little bit, He's going to, you know, multiply it. No, the truth is, if you give some money, that money's gone. You're not going to have it anymore. That's the truth.
Amen.
It might be harder. It might be more sacrifice. You might have to skip a few tacos once a week. So it'll be a little more difficult, but that's living by faith. And sometimes it goes against your reasoning, maybe, against your experience. But faith goes beyond experience sometimes. Forgiving somebody.
Yes.
Doesn't Peter come up to this and he says, how many times should I forgive my brother? I mean, seven? You know? Seven? No, Jesus, the point Jesus was making is as much as you need to, you forgive your brother. If they come to you and they ask for forgiveness, if they're broken, they come to you and they ask to be forgiven, what are you going to do? You're going to say no? Don't you know that you've been forgiven in Christ? Wouldn't it be reasonable for you to forgive them? And yet sometimes we hold on to that and we don't want to forgive. We want to let bitterness grow in our hearts. And we don't want to live in forgiveness. But no, Jesus tells us to forgive many times. Many times you're told to forgive. And so what are you going to do when your experience and your reasoning says, I don't want to forgive them. But God says, no, you need to forgive. It's not an easy thing. Faith and acting by faith is not an easy thing. That's the point. Faith is hard. You have to act upon something that sometimes your experience tells you, I don't want to be doing this.
Yes.
The point is, the truth is, it's we start thinking that the way we think is better. The way we think is right. We know how things work, right? We know how things work. The scientists, I was reading a little thing that said that the scientists for a long time didn't understand how bumblebees could fly because their wings are so much smaller than their body, and it doesn't make sense. The math, all the scientists were confused saying, no, this doesn't make sense. Bumblebees shouldn't be able to fly. They thought they knew things. They thought they knew all these things, but they don't understand everything. The bumblebee can fly, even if you don't understand how it does it. And so sometimes God tells you to live by faith, and you say, well, I just don't understand. Well, okay, you might not understand, but still God gives you clear direction. You should live by faith. Oh, but my way of thinking is so much better. Versus, what does the Bible say about this? Marriage is one place I think we all need it. Marriage, the Bible gives us a lot of details, a lot of things explaining on marriage and why marriage was created. God made marriage, and He gives us a blueprint of how to live life in marriage. And you know what a lot of people today are thinking? Well, I think that's outdated. I have a better way of living marriage. You know, love is a sacrificial thing. And men, if all you're doing is loving your wife by thinking how much she can do for you, that's not love like the Bible's telling you to love. You need to love sacrificially. That doesn't mean you sacrifice her for your pleasure. That means you sacrifice yourself for her benefit. That's sacrificial love. And that might not be popular in your own mind. You might think, oh, well, I really don't want to do that. Well, too bad. Tough luck. You need to do it. Live your life loving her, sacrificing yourself for her benefit. And the Bible says that the wife should submit to their husbands. But that's not a popular word. That's not a popular word. But you know what a popular word is nowadays? Divorce. And I'll tell you what, if you don't live your life based on the blueprints that God has given you for your marriage, that's probably where you're going to end up. Divorce, unfortunately. But it's true.
Amen.
You can say sometimes, oh man, I don't understand it. I don't see it. It's just my reasoning can't comprehend all these things that Christ says and tells me about. But if the word of the Lord says it, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
And you know, if you live your life that way, that's a Christian way of living life. The Christian way of living life is saying, God, if you said it, I'll do it. If you commanded me to do it, I'll do it. I'm going to live by obedience to what you said. And that's faith. And we have many, many examples. Think about Abraham, you know, doing things. What was he? He was going to leave his land? Yes, leave it. Noah was going to build an ark for what? Rain and a flood? Come on. Faith sometimes is going to make you do things that you just don't quite reason out, that you can't quite understand, that your experience doesn't make you think is a good idea, maybe. You know, the Bible says, don't render evil for evil.
Right.
Don't render evil for evil. You know, you think, man, I got to get this guy back. He just did me wrong and I'm going to do him wrong. He just talked bad about me to everybody. You know what? I'm going to get him back. Why? Why? The Bible says don't render evil for evil.
Amen.
So the step of faith that you would take in that situation is say, you know what? He's done me wrong. I can forgive. And I can just not render evil for evil. I'm not going to get him back. I can give it to the Lord. And the Lord said, vengeance is mine. And so I can give it to the Lord. And that would be living by faith. And I'm telling you, your Christian walk should be a walk of faith.
Yes, sir.
That's the way to live. So faith beyond experience. The other one is faith beyond weariness, right? He says there, Simon answering, we have toiled all night. Jesus says, hey, come on, let's go fishing. Peter says, well, do you not notice what we just did? We've been working all night. I'm sure Peter's eyes are probably like this. We're toiling all night, you know? I just fished all night and then I heard your message, you know. And Jesus says, let's do it. And Peter says, okay. Even though I'm tired, even though I'm weary, my body is aching. But at your word, I'm going to do it.
Amen.
Faith goes beyond weariness. Peter, yes, was physically drained. But faith requires action even when you feel like quitting. Even when you feel like quitting. And listen, we even understand naturally. Whenever people are training for a marathon and they're running, right? It's the moments where you're about to quit and you just want to give up. That's when they tell you, you need to push harder. Just go, keep on going. Get through this. And that's what's going to make you stronger. But when it comes to faith, we just like to give up really easy right there. Whenever it gets a little too hard, let's rest. Maybe it's not time to rest. Maybe it's time to push through the difficulty and get across. We're too tired. You ever think that? At night, oh, I'm too tired to pray. I've had a long day. My mind has just been busy with so many things. I'm just too tired to pray. I just want to knockout. God wants you to pray, right? I think God wants you to keep in prayer with Him. How about coming to church? That can be weary sometimes. Be not weary in well doing. Again, there's some things that call for faith, and God says, hey, this is what I want from you. And when we think about it, we analyze it, we might even think, hey, it's a good idea. But we think, I'm just too tired. Going to church at 10 in the morning? That's just too much. At Sunday night? Oh, come on. Wednesday night? I mean, guys, come on. Why are y'all demanding so much of my body? We think we're too tired. But maybe God wants you to push past the weariness and do something out of faith, even though your body is too tired. You know, the Bible does say that Christ told us to come together to participate in the Lord's Supper, where we actually come together in fellowship, in remembrance of Jesus Christ. We break bread like He told us. We partake in the cup of the fruit of the vine. Thank you. We participate in this. And what do? We're doing it in memory of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And we're doing this in memory of Jesus Christ, and it's worth it.
Amen.
Even though our bodies might be tired, it's worth doing it out of faith. This is a position where you can be just like Peter and you can say, Lord, I'm tired. I've been toiling all night. I've been working all day, all week. I've been laboring. But Lord, You said it. And I'm going to do it. Nevertheless, at Thy word, I will cast out my net. This is something you and I have an opportunity to do. To me, that's amazing. It's amazing. Think about it. Jesus suffered and died for you. I think when we think about that, boy, we feel almost embarrassed or ashamed. How can it be? How can it be that He loved someone like me to sacrifice Himself for me? And then think about that He gives you a little bit of opportunity so that you can do a little bit of something for Him.
Right. Amen.
I'm tired, but you know what? He told me to go to church. He told me to gather together with the believers so that we can break bread together, so that we can remember Him. I tell you what, I can sacrifice a little bit of myself to worship Jesus Christ. Live by faith.
Thank you.
Just say, nevertheless, I know you gotta tell your body, I know you feel tired, but we're gonna do it anyway. Just like you have to tell your children, you don't wanna just go to school, but you gotta go anyway. You gotta tell yourself that too.
Right.
Amen.
I think it's interesting, there was an experiment done in the 50s about some rats that they would draw. They dropped in the bucket. It was just a bucket where it was filled with water and there was no way out. And they dropped them in there and they wanted to see how long they would swim around. The first time they did this, all the rats, they put it in there and they did one at a time. And apparently they lasted about 15 minutes. They would swim around and after 15 minutes, they would give up because they couldn't find any way out and they would just give up. And at the moment they would give up, they would get them and pull them out and put them back out. Well, a couple days later, they tried it again. The same ones. They put them back in. And the second time they did it, these rats lasted for hours swimming around because they thought there's a way out. They thought, they know they've been in this position before and they got out last time. So they called it after that. They didn't know whenever they went in what they were doing. But after that, they called it the hope experiment. When you think there's hope, when you believe that there's a way out, you can last a lot longer.
Hallelujah.
And you know, I think that's what it is. Our bodies, we get tired. And yes, we are tired. But I think the problem probably isn't our circumstances or our bodies. It's probably our mindset. The circumstances didn't change for these animals, these rats. But they changed something in their mind. They thought there was going to be a way out and they could last a lot longer. And you and I, we probably give up too easily, too soon, because we just don't see how important it really is. You think there's a reason we have a mission conference every year? If there's a reason for it. We need to remind ourselves, hey, the most important thing in life are souls.
Right.
And we need to remind ourselves of that because if we don't remember it, we'll just give up.
Yeah.
Right.
You'll give up. Why go preaching? Why send missionaries out? Why give money so that missionaries can go to the other side of the world? Why do these things? Well, we need to remind ourselves there's a reason why we do these things. Because if we change our mindset, we can go further. We can keep going. You know, I think the whole point of sending missionaries out, I mean, that must have been something that experience would have told you, whoa, we can't do this. I don't know about doing this. And talk about being weary of doing, I mean, this is not an easy task. It's not easy on anybody. You think the pastors here would not have benefited more from having all the missionaries back in this place? They think it would have made their job a lot easier. Maybe, maybe not. I'm not sure. But it would have been great, right? But no, it's not about how easy things are or how easy it is. That's not what it's about. It's about doing what God says. And as He is guiding us, we want to go for it and do what He says. The moment that we feel too tired just might be the moment that God has been waiting for to give us a breakthrough. I think that we see that a lot, and I think we see that a lot in experience. We see that a lot in examples of the Bible. We see that a lot. We're trying. And then whenever we finally say, okay, this is it. I don't think I can do it anymore. But we push past it and we keep going. God says, okay, boom. And He does something. He does something incredible. As He did here with Peter. You see it after this. Peter says, okay, nevertheless, at thy word. And he goes and he lets it out. And they catch so many fish that he has to call the other boats and they have to come and everybody pulls them up together. Whoa, what an incredible thing. So faith that goes beyond our experience and faith that goes beyond our weariness and faith that goes beyond our convenience. And that's what we're talking about. The nets were already cleaned. They had cleaned their nets. I mean, if this had happened to us, wouldn't we have probably just thought, Lord, couldn't you have come, 2 hours earlier? Why did you wait until I cleaned all of my nets to then ask me to do it again? And sometimes it's inconvenient. And obedience is rarely at a convenient time.
That's true.
Right? I mean, whenever you ask your kid to do something, hey, I need you to do something, they'll say, well, I'm on a video game. I'm in the middle of it. It's not convenient for me right now. There's no pause button. These new games, they're all online and there's no pause. You're in it. And you know, that's how we kind of are sometimes with God. Well, Lord, can you just wait a little bit? I'm actually doing something right now. It's kind of inconvenient that you're asking me to do this right now because I've got other things going on in my life. Yeah. And we could talk about all those other things. I mean, there's examples of this. How many times we think it's just inconvenient to do something that God has clearly asked us to do. We know it. If we just read the Bible, we can see it. We know, yes, this is what God wants from me. I know it. But it's not convenient. But you know, you can come to the night meetings and you can come prepared with something to preach. You can stand up and preach from the Word of God and be a blessing to everybody else. Do you know that God wants this from you? This is the way God set it up. God wants you to come prepared so that you can get... He says, all of you have something. All of you. Yeah. Every one of you. Yep, you're young, you're 7 years old, you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you read your Bible, you've got something. You can stand up and you can share. You've got a hymn you can sing. You've got something. You've got something to bring. But you know, sometimes it's just not too convenient. It's not too convenient for us to do these things. You might have to prepare. You might have to read your Bible. That's for sure. If you want to come prepared to preach, read your Bible, please. Bring something prepared. You're going to have to read. You're going to have to study. You're going to have to maybe make out an outline. You're going to have to get the courage to stand up and say something. All of these things are very inconvenient, but boy, if we're giving up because of inconvenience, we're not going to do anything. Peter says, yeah, this is very inconvenient. I just finished washing all my nets. Nevertheless, at thy word, I'll do it. You got some things that you think, oh, this is inconvenient, Lord.
Right.
But if God has told you to do it, if God is telling you clearly in the Bible, hey, this is what I want from you, No matter how inconvenient it is, you need to give up that mentality and say, Lord, whatever it is you said, that's what I'm going to do.
Amen.
And let me tell you, if you're not saved, you're here today and you're not saved. You know, this is the same thing. It goes by the same way. You know, a lot of people think about, how do I get saved? How am I going to go to heaven? How am I going to be accepted in God's kingdom? Boy, your own thoughts are, man, I got to work hard. I've got to be good. I've got to follow certain commandments, and I've got to follow certain traditions, and I've got to do something according to this religion or that religion. And you have all kind of things that you think up. And God says, no, all of that is trash. What you need is to put your faith in the work that I did on the cross.
Amen.
And you have to say, okay, I give up the way I think. I give up the way my religion taught me. I give up all those thoughts that I have, and I'm just going to do what you said, Lord.
Amen.
At your word, I'm going to take you at your word. And he says, all that cometh to me. Wow. He says that anybody who believes on him will not perish, but have everlasting life.
Right.
Whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen, you can point to that and you can say, Lord, at your word, I believe. I don't understand how it works, Lord. I can't believe. I don't understand how my life can be cleaned up because of what you did on the cross. I don't understand how that's possible to save me from my sins. But you said it, Lord. And at your word, I believe. And you can be saved. You can be cleansed, forgiven of your sins.
Amen.
Transformed. You become a child of God. Not through your own power, not by the power of man, not by the power of anything else, but by the power of God.
Amen.
You can become the Son of God.
Wow.
Just by taking him at his word and believing what he said. He did the work on the cross, and you trust in that work, and he'll save you. This is the kind of faith we need.
Amen.
The kind of faith that pushes past our experiences and our thinking and our reasoning. The kind of faith that puts his trust on the word of God. The kind of faith that pushes past the weariness of everyday life and of our bodies as they're aging. We push past that weariness and we have faith in what God said and we act upon it. And we push past the inconvenience that sometimes we think it might bring to our life. The truth is, none of these are true. The truth is that what you get out of serving God is going to be far greater than whatever you think you might have lost here. It's going to be much greater. No matter if it's trials and tribulations, even if you put your faith in God and you do everything he says out of faith and your life here looks miserable. If your life, instead of getting all this beautiful fruit and you just make tons of money and you get tons of believers and you see all this beautiful stuff in your life, maybe your life is going to look really like a lot of trial. You're going to go to prison and you're going to suffer. But if you're doing everything according to God's will and according to his word, guess what? One day, it's all going to be greater joy for you.
That's right. Amen.
The sufferings that you go through here are not to be compared to the glory that is coming in with him.
Amen.
And so remember that. The faith that goes beyond experience, faith that goes beyond weariness, and faith that goes beyond convenience. This is the kind of faith we need. We need to live our life by. We need to live as Christians a life of faith. And that's what we're looking for. And so I think this is beautiful how Peter, though all the things that he was going through, and you know, he did it later on too. He says, hey, is that Jesus? Jesus says, yes, it's me. He's walking on water. Peter says, well, Lord, if it's you, let me go. And he gets out and he steps and he walks on water with faith.
Wow.
With faith. Beyond reasoning, for sure.
Yeah.
But he did it. And then you start looking at your circumstances around, and what happens? You start sinking.
Yeah.
Just like Peter did.
Yeah.
But when that happens, what do? You look back to Jesus. You look back to His Word. You get strong in it again. Listen, maybe you took some bold steps of faith a while back, and then you started looking around, and you kind of crashed. You kind of burn out. You kind of stopped living by faith. You know, it's time for you to look back to His Word, look back to Him, and get right back in the game. Because every time Peter did it, Jesus put him right back in the game.
Amen.
Right. What? Wow. Well, thankfully that happens, because if not, who of us would be where we are? Thankful for God that we can put our eyes back on the Savior and we can be back in the game. Thank you, Lord, for the faith that He gives us. Let's go ahead and end. Let's end with a hymn. Let's end with 402 in the hymnal. And that is Faith is the Victory. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. So let's sing it to end us tonight. Tonight we're going to be here at 7 o'clock. If you want to come back, we're going to have the Lord's Supper and remember Jesus Christ together. See y'all tonight, 7 o'clock. Yeah.